Luke chapter 2. Open your Bible. Luke chapter 2. Let's pray more. Like that, my friend there, you just started praying. I've been watching you. You just started. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. When we read this one, you will find a neighbor. No, there are neighbors that they don't want to pray. Leave the person. Or go find a good neighbor and settle your destiny. If you are there, say amen. Amen. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished. That she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him. Let's go back to verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Follow the progression, that she should be delivered. And that is why we are in bedpans. The days are what? Accomplished that she should be delivered. Remove the she and put yourself there. And she brought forth her firstborn. The days were accomplished that she should be delivered. The days are accomplished that you should be delivered. And then you brought forth your first son. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And laid him in a manger. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Then verse 8 is where I'm going to. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. O shepherd, keep thy watch. Keep thy watch. Keep thy watch. O shepherd. In the night, stewards are not supposed to be sleeping. They are supposed to be keeping their watch. They will steal your sheep. They will steal it. Jesus said that the world is like the seed. Some fell on the wayside. Some fell many places. There are some that the birds of the air stole. I want you to use the next 5 minutes. We don't have time. Eh? The impact of prayer fundamentally is not how long you prayed. I have said it before. But in the soul travail, what can happen in the next 5 minutes can preserve you in the next 10 years. Satan will do anything to steal what you have received there. It will not be possible. Jesus said, that which they gave to me, I have kept. O shepherd, find a neighbor. Find a neighbor face to face. If the person is not a shepherd, there is no need to hold the person. O shepherd that gave birth. O shepherd that gave birth. Watch over that. Please go on. Has given to you to steward over. Oh, Stefan! Watch. By night, by day, watch. By night, by day, watch. In the same city, we are shepherds that kept watch by night. Keep thy watch. The night dwelleth not.
only them that watch will be able to present that God has committed to them. The things that we gave birth to, we need to steward them. We need to shepherd them by night. Tapakwata, perete, perete. You are not praying, no, you are not praying. Swata! Swata! Hey, oh God! Shatabota! Thank you.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you.
Jesus. You can be seated. Let's continue in our studies. John chapter 4. In the book of John chapter 4, there was a conversation between Jesus and a woman, and the basis of the conversation, the interaction, is worship. That part of scripture is one of the most clearest places where we saw Jesus analyze to us, show us, explain the concept of worship. What indeed is worship? It's a contention. This is part of the reason why we have many religions all over the world, because everybody, because of what he wants to seek and the spirit that he encountered, we generate, engineer a system of worship. So the woman met Jesus, or rather, Jesus met the woman, any way you want to see it. Who do you think met each other? Is it Jesus that met the woman, or the woman that met Jesus? Huh? So, meanwhile, he sent people to go and buy food. But when the will of his father calls, food stays aside. And he sat there and began to interact with the woman. The compendium of their interaction is a full syllable of course of study on worship. If you analyze it like this, he didn't just explain worship to us, he showed us depths of worship. There are many things that Jesus spoke about in that place, and it was there that he fundamentally showed us that worship is an interaction that is founded on a relationship. So he began to tell him, say, you worship what you know not. So there is worship without knowledge. Then he said, God is a spirit. It was then that we began to find out that the emphasis is not the activity, the emphasis is the person of God, the person of God. So a man that have not been brought into a personal relationship with the object of his worship, anything you are doing is not worship. I don't know what you are doing. And people die for the sake of those things they call worship and religion. And that is why Christianity, as we see it, to be accurate, is not going to church. Christianity is having a relationship with your father. And not just a relationship, a vital one. A vital relationship. You know, by the experiential dimension of the activities of the Holy Spirit that is going on inside of your heart, that the same God that you worship is now tabernacled in your spirit. Are you with me now? So why they are looking for externalities so that they will call it worship? You are looking inside, because him that you worship has a throne inside of your heart. We don't need to go to heaven. That's what Paul was telling us in the book of Romans chapter 10. He said you don't need to go to heaven to bring down God, or go to hell to bring him up. He said that one is in your heart. Say your heart. That was what Jesus was trying to bring across to the woman. It's a big job. Being that as of that time, the workings of the Holy Spirit is mostly outside of persons. And once the Holy Spirit works outside of persons, the extent to which he can work is limited. And meanwhile, actually that ministry as of then is not yet the ministry of the Holy Spirit, in quote, even though it's the Holy Spirit that works through Jesus. Now is the work, is the ministry of Jesus. Are you with me? That is why he came to a point in the book of John. Is it not John chapter 16? He said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear it. There are many things Jesus will want to tell a man that he can't bear until he is brought into the environment of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is only in that environment that you'll be able to interact with the person of Jesus in such a way that you will touch his essence. Because the Holy Spirit works in essence. We use talk to communicate. He uses essence to communicate. Are you with me now? Follow me. Follow me. I'm going very fast. We have done introduction. We need to fly now. Are you with me? The journey is far. You need to know that what we are doing is stewardship of realities. So, realities is substances that is beyond the natural realm. So anybody that have capacity to bring interpretation to reality must have left this realm and found himself in the realm of the spirit. And it is important that every believer finds himself in that region, because that is even why you have faith. Are you with me? The scripture says that the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is what, with that faculty, that we are permitted to interact with things that are spiritual. Because it is spiritual, being that your eyes, physical, can't see it. Your hands can't touch it. You can't feel it. You can't hear it sometimes. But you know that the tangibility is real. Sometimes Jesus comes and the scripture we talk about him, he say he rejoiced in the spirit. There is nothing in the environment to testify of the joy that he's having in his spirit. But the scripture said what? He rejoiced. That is an activity. That is a tangibility, but in another realm. But it is so much of a reality that his impact is felt in the natural realm. You can't deny it. Even though the natural man cannot interact with it, but you cannot what? Deny it. You have to be educated in realities so that you will be able to understand the movement of the Holy Spirit inside of your heart. You will know when he is standing, when he is sitting, when he is walking. Sometimes it will seem as if there is nothing happening in your heart. You are not educated in reality. Because some of those days that it seems as if God is quiet, he is doing the majority of the work in your heart. You need to be educated in reality. Are you with me now? It so happens that it's only men that speak to you in cognitive terms. When God communicates, 70% of the time he speaks to you in ways that this brain cannot understand. Those things are ministrations of reality. The tangibility we find expression in this realm is a man partners with the Holy Ghost well enough. Are you with me? As I said before, when you say somebody is healed, you lay hands on somebody, he got healed. What was transferred was a tangible reality. Sometimes the people, we say they feel it like cold on their body. Some people, they say they feel it like warmth. Is it not true? Is there a way you can explain that thing naturally? But can you deny the reality? So, what you call healing is a reality in the spirit. So, a man that understands that reality enough, we know how to shepherd it. And we know how to bring across to men consistently that reality that he has become a custodian of. That is what people like John G. Lake understood. He said, Christ in me. That Christ in him is what he uses to dominate sicknesses. He said, when I lay hands on you, the Christ in me dominates the sickness in you. You are laying hands. He's the one that began to teach us the means of conducting spiritual energy. He says that there is conduction, there is convection, and there is radiation. You have not heard of John G. Lake? He went to the Eastern temples and they did experiment in those places. They brought sick people. And you know, when you go to Eastern religion, that is not the place you come and be teaching only theology. No, you have to be filled with reality. Because in those places, people will be talking and they will levitate from the ground. Japanese Okagakai can heal cancer. Yes. So you have to minister to them beyond the words of your mouth. Things that are incubated with reality. I'm not saying you will not yet speak, but when you speak, inside it is encoded realities that will trigger some oppressions in the target that you have sent it to. If it is the body that is riddled with sickness, the body will begin to react. So sometimes we stretch our hands like this, and people will fall under power. I want to ask you, what made the person fall? What is in my hands? What is coming out? Is it not reality? So when you come into the consciousness of the reality, the possibilities of the reality that is in your heart, you can stretch forth your hand like this. Because there are many believers that have things, they don't know how to transfer it. Once I stretch my hands like this, suddenly there is a shift. Now, this is what my is. You can only experience this. Now, you can only explain this if you have experienced it, because it's an education in reality. See, Paul spoke and Peter spoke about many things. Peter spoke about a stewardship of a dimension of God. A sphere of God that is called manifold grace. And then Paul spoke about the stewardship of a sphere that he called mysteries. But this one, it is still stewardship, but it's of realities. It so happens that whether it's grace, whether it's mysteries, the basic component of his makeup is reality. Are you with me? So a man, you can teach a man grace for 1 year. He has not encountered the reality called grace. He will continue to struggle with sin. You now see that sometimes when you encounter meetings like this, things are embedded in your spirit. It will now take you 1 year to even understand it. But meanwhile, are you with me? The reality of what you pray has already entered your heart. That is why you must be educated in shepherding it. That you didn't understand it and you have not seen it manifest does not nullify the fact that the reality is already born in your heart. Reality. So it's the stewardship of realities. Realities. Let's read the scripture. I don't know why. Since if I come here to teach on this topic, the weight of the burden is too much. Jesus. Indeed, God is burdened with this. Indeed. I want you to pray for 1 minute. Ask God to teach you beyond what I can teach. Holy Ghost, the teacher, we ask you to teach us. We are not ignorant of the fact that we are limited so much. So much we can teach, so much we can communicate. But we ask you to go beyond our utterance, go beyond our revelation, go beyond our capacity to bring across your mind, your burden, and minister to men. Let your burden alight upon their heart and upon their spirit. Sosamanta babaha sakambre iko brade bo sosonamanta braka baha satan. An interesting story in the book of John chapter 4. Very interesting. This is one of my favorite texts in the scripture, because it's an explanation of the journey of a man, and in some cases even some believers. The scripture says that the woman came to a well, and in that well, the name of that well was Sychar. Say Sychar. The meaning of that word Sychar is mirage. The meaning of mirage is, have you made a far journey and your bus is moving on the road and you look far, it seems as if there is water on the road. By the time you now reach that point, you now see there is no water. That thing is called a mirage. That is the experience of a man that have not encountered reality. Follow me. I'm trying to explain deep things for you. This is the stewardship of realities. But I might not be able to explain realities for you if I don't bring across to you the opposite of reality. What is the opposite of reality? What is the opposite of reality? Vanity. You are correct. Why are you afraid? It's vanity. It's vanity. So that well was called Sychar. So when Jesus came in that place, he met a woman that comes often and on to fetch water, only for her to fetch and come back hungry and thirsty. Another bout, another drinking bout. Jesus said, if you know who is talking to you, it is not just that you will give me water to drink, you will ask of me, I will sink a well. Ah, the woman became shocked. I thought well is in the open. He said, you don't understand that the human being is created with the capacity such that a well can be sunk in you. Are you with me? All the things you see naturally, manifested in the natural, those things can be traced to your spiritual encodings and reality. Things like well, water, fire. These are realities that can be found in you. Meanwhile, they are realities. They are realities. When you find them outside of the circumference of the spiritual realm, which is the realm that can only accommodate reality. Aye. Be listening to me. Your spirit is responding. I don't know why I'm standing in front of you. You see, that Sychar is the spirit of the normal human being that you see on the street. This is what is Sychar. Let me explain Sychar for you. Remember I said it's mirage. You see water. By the time you get to that water, you now find out that there was no water in that place. Your thirst was not quenched. You start pursuing. As you look, you see another one. As you reach that place, you find out there is what? No water. That is how they told us to make sure you get 91 in common entrance, so that you will get the best secondary school. We labored, and then we got to the best secondary school, only for us to enter there. That the journey continues. It's Sychar. That thing. Let me continue. When we finish, they told us when we are in. All these things are good though, but when you measure it up in reality, they count for nothing. Their only experience is an encounter, education in vanity. When things from the mother realm test it, it will not hold water. By the time the infrastructure of wickedness and witchcraft that is in your family begin to test your university certificate, you can't use it to get job. That is when you will now find out that is an education in vanity. That when reality encounter vanity, vanity will give way. But the one I'm bringing to you is even beyond this. These are the things of life. They are good, but the things of God are superior to the things we experience day to day in life. Now follow me. Sychar. We finished. My principal in secondary school said that we must go to University of Nigeria, or we go to FUTA, ABU, you know, all those big universities. He warned us never to go to UNIZIC. He said UNIZIC is a glorified secondary school. You can't blame him. It's many years ago. Yeah, you can't blame him. This is happening about 15 years ago. So you can't blame him. I don't know where that your school is 15 years ago. so you can't really blame. Every day he said, in case you can't get it around here, why not go abroad? Oxford, Cambridge. He began to tell us how he went to Cambridge. Glory to God. In fact, when we come to our WAEC, he said, as you don't know how to what to write, don't you know how to copy? Because everybody around you is an A student. I tell you the truth. Yes. Very intelligent. We labored in that. We labored in WAEC. We labored in a bread that can't satisfy. We labored in it. We labored for the water that can only quench thirst for a moment. In fact, he didn't even quench the thirst. Finally find ourselves in the University of Nigeria. We started doing night class. Started the people that has gone there know this story well. And the University of Nigeria is a miniature of what we experience in Nigeria. I tell you the truth in God, I don't know the university you are going, but that one, exam period, no light, no water. I don't know whether it's intentional for us to fail. They sometimes they give the female in their hostel, but we in Franco. Who has gone to UNN? OJB? In Franco. Kai. Franco. No light. And I don't need to tell you that the exam period is also a period of no money. Foodstuff are finished. No money, no foodstuff, no light, no water. My brother, how can man pass exam? Still, we stay on that thing and labor. Night class every day. There was a course I read for 3 days non-stop. I didn't put sleep in this month. That's when I knew anything is possible. Then you can't fast for 3 days. You can't stay awake for. It's a lie, yo. You don't want it enough. Are you not there? Night class, some people live in class. They visit their room, but they live in class. We labored for that bread that can't satisfy. We got the certificate. Only for us to find out that there is almost 500,000 of us that got the same certificate. When we went to orientation camp, they told us our country is not aware of us. How many of you have gone to NYSC? The Said lecture. They will tell you, you better get certificate. Some of us rushed, like my sister. She got her name. Where is your name certificate? Mama Hosasa. Some of you got four, only for you to find out that it's Saika. After getting in, now the way you are surviving, is like come. Jesus said, come. Let me give the water I will give you is not outside, it's inside. It took me time to find out that the resources we need to prosecute our destiny is inside of us. See, I'm not saying education and all those things are not good. But if it is not born from the womb of the spirit, it cannot survive. The job you are doing, the work you are doing, the education, all the things, if it is not born from the womb of the spirit, it will not survive. Time will test it, circumstances. Satan can even test it, and it will not survive on that day. You will look for another certificate. Continue. But just one thing that is born from the womb of the spirit, it will not just serve you, it will serve your generation. Saika. Say Saika. Saika is where you see many people. They say, if I get 1 million now. Sister, do you have up to 1 million? Huh? But you like to have 1 million more. Okay, you now have 1 million. It's when you have 1 million that you remember that 1 million is not enough. It's vanity. It was the song, the songwriter that wrote it in the book of Ecclesiastes. You don't know his panting. No? That man enjoyed everything. I will show. If I don't explain vanity, you will not know reality, and you will not know how much you need to shepherd it. The things that God gave you that are priceless, that there is nothing activity you will do in this realm that can get that thing. Some people got born again, spoke in tongues, they didn't know what they received. They joked until Satan collected it from them. And they said, many years ago, I met one guy when I was doing my industrial training. He said, many years ago, I used to burn for Jesus. I searched for the fire, I didn't see. Do you know what collected the fire? Damsel. Say damsel. I'm not hearing your voice. Say damsel. Say damsel. I know the way you cross your leg, you feel. You know, some of them are beyond this stuff we are talking about. Say. Damsel collected fire from the guy. And he saw me every day I'm praying and reading the scriptures. He said, I remember those days. I remember. May it not be your story. The thing is this. He was not wise. He was not diligent. He was not educated in the shepherd, in the steward of the realities that was embedded in his heart. You see, simply because he cannot trace what God embedded in him in the moments of prayer and worship and studies, and in the spiritual enterprise that we engage in the moments of worship, he cannot trace it immediately to a physical outcome and manifestation in his life. He enthroned many other things ahead of the realities that was embedded in his heart. So after the time that Jesus gave him things in the spirit, he came out and began to do other things, not realizing that the things that was in his heart is what would have given birth to other things, and it will last. Yes, it's true. Peter came when Jesus spoke. He said, Kai. He said, what of we that have followed you in this regeneration? Is it that we are empty-handed? He said, no, in this world. Say, in this world. In this world, you will have car, you will have houses, you will have. But those things have to be born from the womb of reality. Then it will survive. Then it will not take God away from you. It was when people were reading their book that they forgot God. Only to finish from the university. In fact, it was extra year that made them remember God. Extra year. And some of them rushed on me. They said, man of God, pray for me. I'm having extra year. Me, I'm a good person now. I will start shakanda kakakwa. Aya, oh God, no more extra year. The guy will finally have extra year. And finally have another one. And finally have the third one. Don't see it as a bad thing. There are some people, extra year is a blessing. I have said this all the time. Do you know when I graduated? Where are you in 2013? I didn't count the years it took me before I got admission, and I spent 5 years. We never use them now. I'm normally a book person. You can ask my siblings. By the time I was in primary school, I've read many of African writer series. I know some people writing Wayek. Some people in the university they don't even know what is African writer series. You can ask them, they are here. Any book that comes across me, I read newspaper, read book. I was just reading.
I love reading.
You know, we wanted to be. I wanted to conquer knowledge.
Jesus helped me. Jesus showed me mercy
and delivered me from Sika. Imagine if we pursue that thing to the end at the expense of what we are doing now. I'm not saying you should not pursue that all. In fact, that thing helped me because it opened my mind. You know, some people say that faith is not logical. Is it true that faith is not logical? Faith is logical. Faith is not logic, but you can explain it. And if you can explain faith, then it's logical. If the human mind can comprehend your explanations, then it's logic. But it's not logic. It's beyond logic. It's something coming from the eternal realm. But even though it's coming from the eternal realm, you can explain it in such a way that men can comprehend, acknowledge, interact with it. It was the conversation and cycle that led to every. Jesus was just trying to teach that woman one thing. The one thing he was trying to bring her into the knowledge of is what we call reality. Say reality. That woman has been doing many things. He said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. Say, our fathers. You are SU now, is it not? Where am I? SU. This is another SU. SU, raise your hand. Our fathers! Like me, I was born in church. Our fathers! You don't know how I entered campus. I entered with a limp. We are them that they spoke about in the book of Isaiah, the prophet, saying that we enter UNM with a limp. Until I entered a Bible study and a lady was teaching. Some of you know where we are coming from now. Very conservative. My mother has changed now. If it's those days, you will tie her tie. The problem is that it didn't cover your ear. It's not as if you didn't tie, you tie, it didn't cover your ear. My mother will not wait till the end of the service. We drag you out and give you her tie. Tie it for you. Some of you understand what I'm saying. You understand it. And many other things that happen. So, only for me to arrive in campus, and I came to that Bible study, I saw a young lady teaching. It was not just that she was teaching. She was wearing leggings. It was not even normal trousers, like normal ladies. It was leggings. I sat at the back. I said, Jesus, Satan is on the pulpit. Satan. Say Satan. Is on the pulpit. I said, this is the problem we have with our generation. And then many thoughts began to go through my mind. I said, do these people even know where we are coming from? We entered with a limp into this campus. My God. So, the lady continued speaking. She continued speaking. After some time, she switched to prophetic words. She didn't know. That lady, I don't know where she is. She doesn't know me. I don't know her. But she will never know the impact she made in my life. That was one of the greatest turning points in my life. That was the day religion was giving the greatest blow in my life. That blow religion received, I didn't survive it. Or rather, religion didn't survive it. Yes, no? She came and said, there are some people sitting here, you'll be saying, you don't know who we are and where we are coming from. I almost fainted. Because that was exactly what I was thinking. That got my attention. You need to trust God for some equipment. It can break the strongest of men.
I was a strong man. I sat at the back.
I was observing. I was analyzing what is going on. I was taking notes. But the great one conquered me. The great one.
Your will is not strong enough. When Jonah decided, I said, I'm not going.
He entered one ship. They threw him. A whale swallowed him. He still ended up where he was going. That is it. It is not the testimony. The testimony was found in New Testament and in New Covenant. Jesus, they asked him. He said, show us a sign. He said, I will show you. But the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the ground for 3 days, so will the Son of Man. So even in his disobedience, I said, I will not go. He was still fulfilling the will of God. You are not that strong. You are not that strong.
The master crafter. The depth of his wisdom that is beyond finding out. He can take advantage of a mess and get glory out of it. How he does it, I don't know. That's why as long as you are with the Holy Ghost, never lose hope. Anything can happen anytime. Anything. Simply anything. I'm a testimony to that fact. I was talking to somebody earlier today. There is no reason why I should be here. You can ask my siblings. There is no reason. Everything was stacked against me. Everything. Anything you can think of was stacked against me.
But Jesus made me his friend. And that's why we are here.
You can leave him now. Me, I can't leave. If I leave, where will we go? They came and asked. Jesus told them, you guys, you can leave. Peter said, oh God, where we want to go now?
You are the one that have the word of eternal life. We drank. We became drunk. We became intoxicated. Finally, we became addicted. Psycho.
You can make marriage your target only for you to marry and find out that nothing was satisfied. It was psycho. In fact, you can make anointing your target. Are you with me? Only for you to get anointed and find out that anointing is psycho. It cannot satisfy. You can make ministry your target. And then you start reading everywhere. And then you find out that even ministry is psycho. It can't satisfy. Yes. They spoke about a man that owned one of the biggest television, Christian television station, that ranks with TBN and all those things. The man was training everywhere, but he was dying inside. Psycho. Ministry was growing, but the man was what? Dying.
Jesus met Mary and Martha. Martha said, won't you tell Mary to come and follow me and serve tables? He said, leave that lady. She has found that which is more important. What do you have? When God comes and measure your life, he puts you on a scale. Say scale. Eh? And that scale, the component material that makes it up is called reality.
When they now see you, wah, 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 wah.
The only thing God is aware in your life is reality. How much reality are you a custodian of? The woman was boasting about the fact that they have been worshipping in the mountain. Jesus was trying to tell her that all your worship, we are not aware of it. What you think you are, the ministry you think you are doing, the thing you are doing, we are not aware of that thing you are doing, Otolu. We are not aware. That's what they are saying in heaven.
Meanwhile, you are laboring.
Say you are laboring. You can even come to some point and accuse God of not doing something for you. See the way I've labored for you. Why did I fail my exam? Why did this one? He is not aware. You are just on the path of psyche. These are men that interacted with vanities, and at the end, he wasn't able to satisfy. And vanities is not just that it won't satisfy you; it cannot accomplish God's purposes, because for one reason, and that reason is what I will bring out. John chapter 4. I don't know where to start. I'm tempted to start from the beginning, but I know if I start from the beginning, we will not get to where I'm going. There are many things here. When Jesus noticed that the woman has a needle, but she's not aware, Jesus brought his equipment. Did you notice? Jesus worked in a drilling company. He has tools for drilling. So when he drilled the first time, the woman said, Kai, you are a Jew. Say a Jew. But Jesus knew he cannot interact. At Jew level, we can't touch reality. They began to interact. Jesus drilled again. He said, Kai. He said, sir. As good as sir is, Jesus also knew that you can't touch reality at the realm of sir. Say, sir. He brought his equipment again, fixed another screw that is longer than the first one, and drilled. Remember, are you with me? Is in the Bible now. Are you not reading it with me? Go and read it later. I don't have time. The reason why all these things is happening, he said, give me water. He said, I can't give you. He said, me, I can make wells to come out from you. He said, oh yeah, give me. So Jesus brought out his equipment to give her. What's happening is that the woman doesn't know how Jesus gives his own water. He sings a well. That's how he gives his own. Because he won't want you to come every day and be disturbing him. He allows a fountain to flow from you. All you need from thence forward is just the skills to interact with the fountain. It is spontaneous. So Jesus drilled another time. Now I say, Kai, you are a prophet. You are a prophet. I now agree. You are what? If it's you, we say glory to God. We are here. So we are here. But Jesus knew that even at the realm of prophets, that is where Muslims landed themselves. And in spite of everything they are doing, they are fasting and praying, everything, they were not able to touch reality. Because they went far, but they stopped at where? Where? The prophets. That's where they stopped. Many religions in the world, there is no religion that can go beyond the realm of the prophets. And whether it's Japanese, Sokagakai, or all those things, they have different names for them. But in general, what those people are what? Prophets. Because they have capacity to receive words from the realm of the spirit and speak it to men, and it have impact to change things around them. So Jesus told the woman, go call your husband. The woman said, I don't have husband though. Jesus said, it's true. For the first, you have been lying. You used to lie. But today, you now told the truth. He now began to tell him Jesus brought another, a longer machine, and then drilled. The thing touched the woman. God. The woman said, no, leave this thing. He's the Messiah. Say the Messiah. This matter is only the Messiah that can deal with it. He's beyond you. Like I went to preach in a certain place. They said, Kai, you are too young to talk about this thing. Where did you learn it from? These are retired bishops that were my audience. Heavy men, none of them is less than 60 years. None of them have less than 30 years experience in ministry, not born again. And I spoke to them. They didn't know from where I'm coming from. 30 minutes they were writing, they were hanging in the air. By the time I landed, Kai, the man asked me 3 times. No. He wanted to say, he can't say I'm young. He can't say I'm not young. He doesn't know what to say. That's what the woman looked at Jesus. This guy is 30 something years now. How can he be talking about things that is bigger than him? Remember, the discussion started from Abraham, our father, sang this well for us. So they knew that whoever the Messiah is, his ranking should be higher than Abraham. So the Jesus said, I passed that level, passed this level. Finally, the woman said, let me just bring Messiah. I know it will end the matter. There is no way. Finally, this man will agree. He said, the Messiah, when he comes, Jesus said, the Messiah, he that is talking to you is the person. Then Jesus began to unfold the package that he had. That package, to unfold it before that time is a waste, is an effort in futility. Because any well that you dig from then, we still use cycle. We cannot extract realities from there. Are you with me? The circumference of God's reality is found around the person of Christ. Are you with me? And Christ is the Messiah. So until he was able to bring that woman to the circumference of Christ the Messiah, any other ministration that he brings to that woman is an effort. He can't touch reality. The woman will come and test again. It's vanity that people have been dealing with. It doesn't last. That's why some of them pursue anointing and got anointing. And finally, they found that it's not all about anointing. They started selling anointing. Started doing many things. Because you set a target. You set a target. Members is your target. Anointing is your target. Having church branches is your target. You have gotten it now. Is it not true? Sometimes you act, okay, let's say you didn't get it or you got it, it's still the same thing. It's still vanity. It's still vanity because as you are doing it, you are not yet satisfied. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul. Satisfy my soul. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy. Verse 23. The scripture says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in what? Truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. See, there is a need for verse 24. Verse 24 is needed to explain verse 23. It will follow me. Verse 24 now says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in what? Follow this progression. Let's go back. He said, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in what? In truth. Why do we need to worship the Father in spirit and truth? Because he's a spirit. Because he's a spirit. If God is a spirit, he can only minister spirit. Eh? And he can only walk and interact in the realm of the spirit. It's a big challenge. That is the real challenge. So the scripture, remember, the object of all this discussion is what? Worship. He said, they comment. And even now, when they that worship God will do so, how? In spirit, the location, and in truth. There are two things here. One is what? Location. The second one is what? So there is a location where you can only touch the realities of God. And beyond that, it also shows us that because God is a spirit, and they that will follow me. It is in worship that you encounter realities. You need to know that worship is not Adonai, we worship you. You used to sing it, Son of God, you are so good. No, it's not that one. Anytime the spirit, remember I said, anytime the spirit of a man encounters the spirit of God, then there is worship, because it is principally a relationship. So what God wants is to intercourse with your spirit. That was why an unbeliever cannot worship God. Now they do praises, you know. The scripture says, let all flesh, let every living thing work. Every living thing. But if it's worship is principally a relationship based matter. That is why he didn't say your God. He said what? Your father. Father. When somebody is your father, that means that there is what? A relationship. So he said, the time cometh when they that worship God will worship him in spirit and truth. Because he seeketh such. The reason is because God is spirit. So if it is true that you will interact with that personality that is your father, you have to enter the realm of the spirit. And when you enter into that realm, the faculties and things that you interact with in that realm are only reality. It is the spirit realm. He said spirit and what? Truth is reality. This is what it means. I think I've explained it here. Do you know somebody, we can come, what's the name of your church? I will not say in the microphone. So you know the way your church service goes now. Then there are many damsels there now, is it not true? Why are you smiling? The Lord is good. Now if you go there, there are many things that they are doing there, calling it worship. It's not worship. Yes. Some of them are even showing off. Have you not noticed? Are you saying you are not noticing it? We have to show off the new clothes they bought. The new watch. The gold wristwatch. If he's doing his hand and we worship it, you are not seeing the. You have to do so that you see it. When Jesus comes and measures that thing you call worship and puts it with the measurement of the shekels of the sanctuary, the reality that will be found in it will be very minute. On Sundays like this, Jesus is moving. I know he moves from one church to another, looking to be satisfied with their worship. And the reality he finds in their worship is very little. He can move into 1,000 churches and he is not yet satisfied a bit. Do you know why? We are doing many things that is not reality. So first of all, if there will be reality, we have to find ourselves in a realm. Where is that realm? That means everything that is flesh have to go down. Now, if there is an administration, if there is anything that is incorporated in the administration of worship that has anything to do with the flesh, are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus is saying you can't touch God on that part. That part you are following, you can't touch God on it. And then when you enter that realm and you begin to interact with the things of God, the things of God that you interact with comes in a written with parchment. Is it not true? As God is speaking, they are writing. Why are they writing? They always expect God to. The reason why you don't have Jota is because you don't expect God to speak. If you are used to hearing his voice, you know he can speak in the toilet. He can speak. Is it not true? He can speak anywhere. Speak anywhere. You can be moving on the road now, and as you are going, he speaks. You bring out your Jota and write. Yes, sir. You can be eating and he speaks. You drop the spoon and what? So the things God can minister to you can only come across to you in a shape and mode called what? Say realities. That is what Jesus was trying to teach that woman. That anything you encountered and called it the things of God that doesn't come in the mode and the shape of realities is not of God. Are you hearing me? It is not what? Of God. So when we get, just like we come to bed times, there are many realities you interact with. Because as soon as we come, our first target is to gain ascendancy. Say gain ascendancy. When you gain ascendancy and get to that place, literally every single thing that you collide with are realities. Because in that place, you see God face to face. Sometimes you maintain that plane for long. 10 minutes, 20, 30, 40. Sometimes the waves of the glory will be cascading through your heart. Sometimes it will be so strong on me that I don't know how I'm able to carry it. It comes in many ways. Sometimes the reality that is ministered to you comes like waves of baptism. Is it not true? To seem as if we are baptized, waves. It will be coming on you. It will be coming on you. Is it not true? Sometimes it comes like light. Something pops up in your faculty of understanding. These things are ministration that comes to a man that have encountered reality in the realm of God. That is the realm of the spirit. Are you with me? If you encounter God and he ministered anything to you, he didn't minister it in any other mode except what? Reality. The reason is why? Huh? Why? Because God is spirit. And the spirit of God is the only one that have the capacity to minister God's presence. Minister the things of God. And when he does it, he ministers it as reality. Most time is when he ministers it, then you will begin to speak about the things he ministered. Sometimes you will be caught up to heaven and you will hear counsels there. The counsels you heard there is not something that is cognitive. They spoke, but when he came to your heart, he came as a burden. So sometimes you have to pray for 1 month for you to receive the utterance to communicate the burden. It was counsel that was discussed in heaven. They were discussing things about your destiny in heaven. Eh? But when he came like a body. You don't know how to explain it. You try to explain to people, you cannot. You have to pray for long. After you have prayed for, not for anything. Stop praying for God, show me. No, pray for long. Because the explanation can never be given to you by any man. It is reality that was ministered to you. Now. Those realities come like burden sometimes, come like hunger. Say hunger. So if you don't know how to shepherd some of these hungers, sometimes it will not fulfill the purpose that God sent it to do. I explain hunger as the confident assurance. Hunger is the ministration that God brings into your heart. And it is the confident assurance that you can lay hold on anything in God. How do you know you can lay hold? It is hunger. The way you know any man can lay hold on things in God is the amount of hunger he has in his heart. If he's hungry enough, nothing can be a barrier. So God sees where you are going. Are you with me? And then he says, you ask him, oh God, help me to get to my destiny, help me. He said, I've answered your prayer. What does he do? He ministers a reality called what? Say hunger. You say, oh God, help my prayer life. He ministers a reality called what? Burden. You you say, oh God, help me to understand this scripture. It means that reality is called revelations. You open scripture like this, you are on one phrase from morning to evening. The thing refuses to finish. I've been there a few times. When you open it like this, it's like the way my own opens is that it opens like a box. Yeah? Then he opens. Then light comes out. Then he opens. Inside that box, another box opens. Inside that box, another box opens. By the time I'm through with a phrase, I've almost gone through the Bible 3 times. Just to understand the phrase. My brother is packets of light. It is your inner man. You can't recover from it. You see, these are when God ministered reality to you. Is you that came out and began to tell us that what you received is healing anointing, what you received is the prayer grace, what you received is this one, what you received. When God ministered to it, he didn't give it that name. You are the one that gave it that name. What he ministered to you was the reality of what you are experiencing. That is why, for you to actually know, are you with me? This is the essence of this teaching. For you to actually know many of the things that God has ministered to you as realities, you must know the act, the ministry of stewardship. Sometimes you have to steward some things for 2 years. Sometimes you have to stay in the encounter you had, you have to steward it for 10 years. And then you found out that what he meant is that you are an apostle. It is an encounter that you had. Are you with me? When you don't see what it, you will end up as a conductor, as a ganja smoker. When you don't see what it, they will package you one side, and you'll be struggling with one branch church. All you'll be doing is to increase the number there. Meanwhile, God has ordained you to be a prophet unto nations. The encounter you had, you didn't see what it. We have seen men that encountered heavy things when they were in campus. They didn't know how to steward those things. 10, 15 years after, they were normal people. But people encountered things that were 10 times less than what they encountered. But they held it, incubated it, stewarded it, and those things brought them before kings. People like Miles Monroe. See, I'm not trying to bring down what he has, but my brother, my sister, I'm not sure I've seen anybody fall under power under his ministry. I've not seen anything. His own is so much cerebral that you feel you can achieve it. I know there is a spirit of wisdom he has, but it was something that came to him. He stewarded it. He read every book. See, I will show you people keys to stewardship. There are two things that I have to do now, and I will be through. One is to show you the 7 pillars of stewardship, and then I will show you the practical ways to steward. What are the things somebody will be doing, and you will call it stewardship? In case I forget, number one is consistency. If God suddenly dropped a grace to pray, and then after you pray today, say, Kai, we pray today. The way I prayed at Revival Hub during the 24 hours, I have never prayed like that in my life. And you start asking us, when are we doing another 24 hours? You are a foolish person. You don't know. We don't need people like you. We are not here to entertain goats. It's sheep we are looking for. People that when you embed reality inside of them, they carry it. One encounter they had here, they took it to Lagos, they took it to UK. That prayer power they encountered, they carried it all over the world. We are coming every day meeting. You think I'm not waiting for you? This is a parasite. Where men are trained and they incubate what they received. After many seasons, they can replicate that in many men, many people. It is there and then that God has received profit and revenue from the investment of reality that he has made in you. Remember, I told you that the purpose of investment is what? To get revenue. So all you are doing is to come and charge, and then you go, you come and charge. You are not a steward. So when you go, you prayed for 24 hours. It means that anybody that prayed 24 hours in corporate setting can pray 1 hour on his own. Is it not true? You can pray more, but at least 1 hour. Then you go in the night. You now notice about that time we started in the night or in the day, you now wake up and you now pray 1 hour. After you prayed it for, you said, because you did it for 3 days, you say, Kai, let me pray like this for 2 weeks. And then after praying for 2 weeks, you now start clapping for yourself. I prayed for 2 weeks. As you have not seen the manifestation of the purpose of the reality that was embedded in your heart, why are you stopping? Continue shepherding it consistently, 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 consistently. Leviticus chapter 6. Is it chapter 6 or 9? Chapter 6, right? The scripture says that this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering for what reason? It is the burnt offering because of the fire burning there. And it's not just that the fire is burning there what? All night till the morning. Removing that perpetual burning, are you with me? It is the perpetual burning that makes it a burnt offering. It's not that you burn today, tomorrow you are cold. You burn today, you are cold. You burn today, you are cold. Pastor, my prayer life is down. Pray for me, pray for me. Impart me, impart me, impart me. You will impart and die. I'm not interested. That's why when people tell me, ask me, this is my trouble, this is my challenge, I tell them, come to bed pants, come to our meeting. Let's shift something in your heart. There are embedments of spiritual realities that come into your spirit. There are things you give birth to when you come to bed pants like this. After some seasons, all you need to do is to shepherd them. All you need to do is to what? Steward them. What they will give birth to, it will amaze you. Look at the small unit. You know. Not be yesterday where you start. Look at how people rank you. And it is true. It is true. The reason why it's true is that the one you receive, you what? Look at what it became in about 2 years. What can God do with you if you can steward the realities you have received? What can God do? How much can God achieve for our generation if you know how to steward? Pray to God in the next 1 minute. Tell him to give you a consistent spirit. A consistent spirit. A consistent spirit. Sozamanta branta bahaka brendora sasana manteya. Brekota bamahanta brata babo. Jianta babahanta kapa. The scripture says, for men ought always to pray and not to faint. That is not the whole stuff. Verse 7 now said, when he, the Son of Man, cometh, shall he find faith in the world? It means, shall he find consistency? Will you see a consistent spirit? Will you continue to tarry? Will you continue to nurse and shepherd that which he has committed to your hands until he has blossomed to something that can consume your generation? In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We have to stop here and continue next week. I think it's just introduction we did, and there is the last part of the introduction I've not been able to do, and that is the key part. But we'll continue next week. Wherever the Holy Ghost stops, we stop, whether I finish the teaching or not. You are blessed. Come and cast your seed. Come and cast your seed. Let's share the grace and fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Ghost be and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. On no one leave on our seat.